Hello, everybody. Just a very quick one about Instagram. If you're on it, Meta, the parent company, is reducing the number of political posts visible to users on their feed. This is a real thing, not a hoax. So go to your Instagram profile, tap the three horizontal lines in the top right corner to open the settings tab, scroll down to what you see, click on content preferences, open political content, and turn on don't limit political content. That's an option. Otherwise, you won't see almost anything we post because we are deemed political. Please do that now, or you won't even see the posts about our shows, our fun things. So if you want to see Guilty Feminist content and know when we're coming to a place near you or releasing a new podcast, do it now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I am a feminist, but I often find myself promoting this podcast by saying, it's about feminism, but don't worry, it's funny.
I'm a feminist, but when I got married, I secretly hoped I'd be so thin that people would say I'd gone too far. Not like so far there'd be an intervention, but like gossip that I should have a sandwich or something. No one said that. No one was the least bit worried then or since.
I'm a feminist, but when my best friend, who was pregnant, told me that she was expecting a boy, my first thought was, oh, great, another one.
That doesn't seem anti-feminist. Seems stereotypically feminist.
If you think about it, it's not feminist.
I haven't got time to think about it. I'm a feminist, but this week I paid $210 for an emergency trip to a Melbourne dermatologist because I worried I had overused retinol in an attempt to look younger and then sat next to an outdoor heater and burnt my skin and permanently damaged it. The doctor said I had got a bit pink, but I had nothing to worry about and that I had wasted my $210.
I'm a feminist, but I recently downloaded a podcast which described the equal pay gap, its history, and what we can and should do about it. And I listen to it every night because it helps me fall asleep. I've never reached the end.
Oh.
I'm a feminist, but this week, when at a $210 emergency dermatology appointment, I told the doctor I had lines under my eyes, which I worried made me look old, she said, you're fine, my lines are worse than yours. And I said, no, your skin is perfect. And she said, it isn't, your skin is beautiful. Look at my lines in the mirror. And we both stood in front of the mirror, hanging on the back of her door, going, my lines are worse than yours, I can't even see your lines, for about 5 minutes. Again, she was a doctor who'd been to medical school.
Live from Melbourne Town Hall, the Spontaneity Shop presents the Guilty.
Sophie Hagen, and me, Deborah Frances White. And tonight's special guest, Hannah Gadsby, talking about femininity. This is The Guilty Feminist, the podcast in which we explore our noble goals as feminists and our hypocrisies and insecurities which undermine them.
Femininity. We had challenges for this one.
Yes.
What was your challenge, Deborah?
My challenge was to go out, to dress up in a very feminine way and to dress up in a very masculine way and go to the same restaurant for two different sittings, sit in exactly the same spot, and to sort of really just play with those extremes of gender. So dress in a certain way and see how I felt, and sit in a certain way and see how I felt. So firstly, I dressed in sort of just very masculine clothes. Like, I had a jacket, a shirt, jeans, which I never wear. I never wear jeans. I cannot pull them off or on. And I flat shoes, no makeup, and my hair pulled back. And I went and I sat there. It was, you know, the European restaurant on Spring Street. And I sat outside. Everyone was walking past. And I sat opposite these two men. And I was mimicking their body language. So they were doing lots of manspreading and, like, one foot up on the other leg. And they were sort of, like, really open and taking up loads of space. So I thought, I'm going to do that. And I ordered my food and I sat there. And it was a very odd experience because I felt, like, completely... it's an odd thing because probably no one else would have seen this, but I felt completely unattractive. Like, I just didn't have any of my normal signifiers on. And at first I thought, oh, those guys are going to look over at me and they're not going to see someone who is attractive. And then a really odd thing happened. I thought, it's not my full-time job to be attractive for those men. This is not my job. And I just felt like I'd put a really heavy bag down and thought, you know what, I'm going to take a night off from trying to feel attractive, from trying to see validation from other people that I should be attractive. And I just went, I'm going to sit here and not be attractive. And what are they going to do about it? Nothing. There's nothing they can do. And it felt so relaxing. And I thought, do you know what? This is so good. I'm going to go out once a week like this. Just no makeup with my hair pulled back. Not like, you know, well presented. Like, I'll wash. I'm not going to let myself go. But just like in very gender neutral clothes, as much as gender neutral can be. I mean, gender neutral clothes is just male, isn't it? It's not neutral. It's male. Neutral in our society is always male. But I'm just going to not make any cultural signifiers of femininity. And I'm just going to sit there going, I'm not here to be pretty for you. I'm not here to be sexy for you. I'm not looking for any signs in your eyes that you find me arousing. And that's okay. And I'm going to do it every week because I didn't know that I felt like that. If you'd asked me, I would have said, no, I'm not going around trying to be attractive for men or trying to make people think I'm pretty. But as soon as I stopped, I realized I was. I realized my whole life I've been just doing things, and it felt like a weight had been lifted off me. And then I dressed up in the pretty dress, and a couple of people I spoke to about this challenge said to me, oh, but you always dress feminine. Like, you're always feminine. Like, that's not a challenge for you. And I found myself feeling very emotional when people said that. In fact, at one point I cried. And I think because I don't think that's true. I dress stylishly, but I'm very structured. It's like a lot of black and a lot of structured clothes, a lot of jackets. And I realised, I grew up on the Gold Coast. I know I don't sound especially Australian, but I read a lot of Enid Blyton as a child, and I picked up the accent from the books. And so I grew up on the Gold Coast, and I'm just tall. Once I was working in a jewellery shop when I was a Jehovah's Witness, and another story, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness anymore, don't worry, I'm not going to lock the doors and get out of cart. And I'm an atheist, it's all right, fine, relax. And this chap who was working in the jewellery shop said, oh, would someone try this bracelet on? Because I want to size it. And I said, oh, yeah, I will. And he went, and he looked at me and he went, not you. You've got wrists like a man. You're enormous. I wasn't fat. It was that I am physically too large, like, to be on the Gold Coast. I had to leave. They asked me to go. Council zoning implied that I wasn't a woman there. I clinically didn't pass as a woman there because they want you to be very petite. So I have mega issues with femininity, I think. And all of these cultural signifiers that I put on, all of the things like the... I feel like I have to do all of those things. I've realised this week. It's been a traumatic challenge. I'm not going to lie to you. I make so much effort
to be shiny and to be smooth and to be bronzed, because I think otherwise I'm not going to pass for a woman. And so I'm just going to take that on board. Like, I love clothes and things, and I don't want to not love clothes. And, you know, it's makeup's fun. All of those things are fun. I love the fact that I get to do makeup. You know, like, guys wake up in the morning, like, you know, you, sir, and you just think, well, this is as good as I'm going to look all day. I get to do something about it. So basically, I don't want to stop those things, but I want to do them more mindfully.
I think that's wow.
Yeah, I had a bit of a breakthrough.
Yeah.
Here in Melbourne. Thank you, Melbourne.
Please welcome to the stage, Deborah Frances White.
Very recently, I took my nephew, my five-year-old nephew, to the Science Museum in London. And at the Science Museum, they have an IMAX screen and they have movies on for kids so they can learn about science. And I realised that while I was there, I learned not just about science, but I learned about the science of femininity and masculinity. Because we took him to see a movie, a 3D movie, called Fly Me to the Moon. And it was about three animated flies who stowed away on the original Apollo mission to the moon, you know, with Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong. And these three little flies, they were called Nat, IQ. Nat was the leader, IQ was the smart one, and then there was Skeeter, I think, who was the fat one. And I watched this movie with my five-year-old nephew, and we both learned a lot about femininity, masculinity, because all of the three flies that stowed away were male. They did not invite any girls on the journey because no girls were interested in space. And when the mothers found out that their little boys had stowed away and gone to space, they were alarmed, as you can only imagine. And so do you know what the lead mother did? She fainted. She went, oh! And then as soon as she came to and she remembered her son was in space, do you know what happened? She fainted again. But luckily there was a wise old grandfather there, and every time she or one of the other women would faint, he'd go, women, women. And this happened on a loop. Oh, my son's gone to space. Women, oh, women. On a loop. And eventually the mother came around and he explained to her, the wise old grandfather, he said, when I was a boy fly, I would love to have gone to space, but in those days we only dreamed about rocket ships. Boys need adventure. You shouldn't worry about him. And the mother took this on board and managed to rally and not faint for a good five fucking minutes. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think I've ever seen a mother faint. I think when people become mothers, they stop all the fainting. I've certainly seen a woman lift a car off her fucking baby. I've seen that. I've seen women go into all sorts of extraordinary modes when their children are in trouble. But if a woman who has a child, when her child is in any way in danger, runs toward the danger with a pickaxe. She never, ever faints. Thank you very much.
I think I feel a tiny bit the same way of that this challenge was, I didn't think it would be hard. I thought it would be funny to Google masculinity and then try and live like a day as a man. And I found some really interesting, like top intelligent articles written by men, yeah. So masculine traits, to be a man, a masculine man, you have to be non-emotional. Do you cry when people say things that hurt your feelings? I think it has to be said in this way. Have you ever reported an online message board post to a moderator because it was mean? When your boss is being an ass, do you become a sad little panda?
A sad little panda?
A sad little panda.
Wow.
The saddest animals of them all. Then there was aggressive. What are you afraid of approaching women? Or do you take what is yours or complain that there is a lack of opportunity? Can you survive a street fight? You know,
good
like
point.
Real men. Then there's tough skinned. Does a rhinoceros know when a fly is on its back? What does this mean? What is this? I feel so bad for men for having to be this.
Yeah, that's a tough rap for men, isn't it, really?
When life gets tough, do you push through or do you quit? Are you afraid of drinking a green juice? What? What? Or do you instead look for your milk and cookies? That explains green juice, because otherwise you cry, I don't know what this is. Or even worse, are you so defeated and demoralized by life that you become a drunk? Was alcoholism this, is a disease. What the fuck are they on about?
Anyway, was this written by Tom Cruise's character in Magnolia? It sounds a lot like a
right,
was.
It does, yeah. Doesn't it? It's an actual website. And then this one was, just beautiful. Sexually aggressive. That's a masculine trait. Ooh. Sexually aggressive. The first line is poetry. Any loser can be horny.
That what? Is true, though. Any loser can be horny. I will give him that.
Jesus, when you see a woman, do you decide that you're going to be a man and make your move? So basically, when I'm reading about what masculinity was, which is like independence, courage, doing whatever you want, I realize I've been doing this challenge for 27 years. Oh. I've been masculine my whole life. There was none of, I mean, I'm not I am sexually aggressive, but in a cutie way. In a non-threatening way.
Yeah, sure. She loves consent. Hashtag Sophie loves consent.
No, but then I thought, oh, well, I'll just turn it around. I'll just be feminine. I asked my mom. I wrote my mom and I said, hey, what's... Because I've talked about my mom on the podcast before. She only dresses in men's clothing. She doesn't wear a bra. She never puts on makeup. She never does her hair. She never, like, wears, like, trainers. She's, like, all the, you know, the masculine traits. So I asked her, what is femininity to you? And she said, I think it's a really great thing, and I think everyone should be feminine, and I think everyone should be doing this. We should all work towards it. And I said, do you think I mean feminism? She said, yes. My mom didn't know that femininity was a word. She didn't know it was a thing. So I tried to do all the feminine things, which is like to always sit with your legs together. I tried to do like the female voice, just to sound a bit softer. And then I tried to just sound stupid a lot. Like I tried to like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing really. I'm just here to, oh, I don't know. I just drop my handkerchief somewhere. Oh, do. And after about like 7 minutes, I felt like shit. I felt so bad. And I felt like there was a part of me going, yes, this is how you're meant to act. This is how you should act if you want to be a woman, if you want to be feminine, if you want to be, this is what I need to be. And I felt so bad that I had to not do it. Because I just, it was like, oh no. This is the contrast of what I actually am, and that is apparently wrong.
Yeah, I've had that before with doing challenges for this podcast, that I think I'm setting my therapy back 6 years, and I think I just got to stop, because yeah. It's just for the sake of my mental health.
Yeah.
This is a podcast. This is not, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Sophie Hagen!
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. We're in Melbourne. I've never been here before, so I've been doing a lot of touristy things, which is I've rewatched all of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which is an amazing show, by the way. It's an amazing show, apart from all the, you know, the sexism and homophobia and transphobia. I grew up with that show, which means when I was like 6, I would watch it all the time. And when I was 6, I didn't know I was a girl. So I identified with Will Smith. So I've learned everything I know from Will Smith, which means that today when I flirt with anyone, I flirt like Will Smith. And I realized that literally 2 weeks ago when I was, I just watched like 3 episodes because it was a sunny day and I was in the club thing and I don't usually go to clubs. I don't like that. And we'd gone like dancing, which is weird because I don't usually move. And there was a man, a hot guy, who walked past me. That's what you call them, hot guy. In Australia, you just call them guy. Everyone's fucking hot. And as he walked past me, I kind of just like followed in his footsteps and went, hubba, hubba. No one should do that. I don't even think Will Smith does that in real life. I've said the most horrendous things to men that it's just not okay. Yesterday, I semi-flirted with one of my friends, and I did that by just like leaning in, and I said, "You smell lovely." He said, "Enough." Like, fair point, it is enough. It's just like a very masculine way of doing it. I remember trying, someone had told me to try and flirt femininity. That's the word we're now using. So I saw a hot guy, and I thought, oh, I'll seem helpless. He'll like that if I just seem helpless. So I wanted to like bump into him like the ditzy klutz that I am. And I tried it once and then he didn't react. And I was like, oh, he hadn't noticed that I bumped into him. I was very drunk, by the way. So I did it again. And what I meant to do was I meant to, like, just, like, my angle should just touch his angle. So I could be like, oh, no, I am so terribly sorry. I should be carried anywhere. help me. But I was very drunk, so my aim wasn't that good. What I'm trying to say is that I kicked him. I walked straight up to a man and kicked him. And then still try to do the, oh, I'm so sorry. It's just, I'm a silly girl. I tried to do the most feminine thing I could think of, which was to dance, which was horrendous for people watching. And my body went into full panic. It was like, this is not normal. You're moving a lot. So it started sweating. Because my body thought, like, you can't, like, if you're moving, there's an emergency going on. And you need to throw everything you have. So all the sweat came out. All of the sweat I have in my entire body came out at once. And I was sweating so much. I kept dancing, kept sweating. Eventually, my body went, well, then we have to pee now, because this is, we need to relieve all of the liquids. And then I went to the bathroom and I sat down on the toilet seat. But I had sweated so much that when I sat down on the toilet seat, I slid off. That's making me a failure. No. So that's why I try and not ever move. Ever. That's why I stay in and watch Fresh Prince. Thank you very much.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Okay, should we bring on a special guest?
Oh, I love her so much.
You love her so much, and I'm staying on her living room floor. So
ladies and gentlemen, Miss Hannah Gadsby!
G'day, how you doing? I will say that I've given you a bed.
You have?
Yeah,
you have.
It's not a floor, like, it's got furniture between you and the floor.
Oh, so sorry, I didn't mean it like that. I meant it like, it sounds funny if I'm camping out. It's a very nice bed at Hannah Gadsby's house. I can recommend it.
I didn't say it was nice, but it's definitely a piece of furniture. You're not on the floor.
No, I don't want anyone to think I'm lying on the floor and that she's making me do that. It's a bed on a, it's basically, I'm staying in her living room.
It's a fold-out couch.
It's a gorgeous, it's a lovely fold-out couch in the living room. It's wonderful. And I'm very much appreciating it. And also, do you know what? She cooks for me all the time. She brings me in breakfast treats. It's delightful.
I'm so jealous now.
I am too.
So, Hannah, we're talking about femininity today.
Okay.
How do you feel about femininity and masculinity and its presentation in society and how it relates to you? It's a lot of questions.
There's a lot in there. I think what's interesting for me, what you were talking about there pretty much was, for me, the hyper-masculinity and hyper-femininity when, because of these lists or these expectations that you're not woman enough, these are almost caricatures of, like, when you close your eyes and think, oh, that's masculine. Because there's no real clear definition. People just go, oh, it's these things. And because in our minds we have a very, because we have a binary, we have, you know, definite ideas, apparently, of what's masculine and what's feminine, where in actual fact we don't. and they've moved. The goalposts have been shifted throughout the centuries. I mean, King Henry VIII, no, it's a different king, actually. King Louis XIV, different country, French guy. you know, he pretty much centred the French court around the impossibility to move, and that included men and women. So he wore, you know, red high heels, and so it meant that if you dropped something, you couldn't pick it up. And men and women. And that's pretty much continued after the French Revolution for women, but not men. Men would faint in those days because they wore those really restricting clothes and they weren't allowed to move and they were pasty and et cetera, et cetera. As soon as they did too much, they would faint. The idea was they were the class where they didn't have to move. And that's pretty much what continued after the French Revolution as a way of controlling women.
It's so interesting. Yeah. It's about weakness, isn't it? Like feminine, it feels like a weakness thing. Like the high heels, you can't run away.
That's more, like, if you think about it, it's more to do with, say, as they say, the winners write history. Mm. And that's pretty much what's going on. So where they say masculinity is strength, femininity is weakness, you could say if the losers wrote the history, femininity would be flexibility and ability to adjust, whereas masculinity would be, you know, what would you call it? Unbending, and so that would... you know, the oak and the wild reeds, the oak would fall down. So I always think that when you look at these binaries, you know, masculine's positive, feminine's negative, you can always find what the positive ideas behind that is. It's just because it's been set up because the winners are men.
Mm. Do you remember the first time you, like, you learned that something was feminine and something was masculine? Like, I remember at school, I remember suddenly all the girls started telling me that I should wear certain things. All of a sudden, they were like, why aren't you wearing makeup? Why aren't you wearing a bra? And I asked my mom, and she was like, what's a bra? What's makeup? Because she'd never learned that either. And that was around, I must have been 12, 13, I think, when I started learning that.
Well, I guess mine was much earlier because I was brought up a boy pretty much. Like, cause I was youngest of five kids and I think mum lost interest. So it was like, well. So I wore hand-me-downs and I had three brothers. So, you know, it's like, cool. And then my closest sibling was a brother and we just got about as twins. So it wasn't until it was, you know, I went to school and I had to wear a dress and I felt profoundly uncomfortable. But what the difficult thing is that it's confusing because... I'm not someone who says I'm a man. I want to be known as a man and I want those pronouns. But when I get told to fuck off out of the women's bathroom, I'm not upset about being mistaken for a man. I'm upset that I don't have a place to belong. That's the difference. What you experienced was you were upset because you were told that you weren't enough of what you already presented as. And that's, I guess, for me, is the really interesting thing is that so many grey areas in something that's always presented to us in such binary. I always get so pained when I see these babies with pink ribbons around their head. Like the desperation that informs that decision, like the fear, you know, it's the fear of like, no, I'm a man, I'm attracted to men, kill him, you know, or it's just a joke, ha ha. But that fear is very real. And that's the problem. And that's the problem that, you know, we feel uncomfortable with. The diverse ways we express just being a woman is being conflated with femininity.
Hmm. That, yes, that there's sex and there's gender and then there's that, as you say, hyper-masculinity or hyper-femininity. And I think, yeah, I feel like for me the Gold Coast was a place where there were clearly...
Subtlety is not...
It's no, it's not evident anywhere.
They love naming things. Like, where are we? It's on the coast. and it's like, you know, the sand's gold. Like, and then the fire, and that's what we'll call it. Like, they're just, you know, they're not up there. So they're not up there for subtlety or the you know, there's some hills. Fuck them. you know.
Yeah, it's pretty tribal, male and female. And it was very clear that the boys surfed. And the girls would sit on the beach and mind the weddies. Now girls do surf and things are much better. But I don't remember any girls surfing. Probably some did, but I don't remember that being a thing the way it is now. And I do remember there was a lot of pressure to be petite, to be small. And listen, maybe that was just my view because I wasn't petite.
Well, no, but it's certainly not the case now. Heaps of girls surf. Heaps. I mean, equal numbers get bitten by a shark, male, female. So it's
equal opportunities there for us girls.
So it is like, thankfully, moved on. I remember, like, this is a very interesting story to think of around these because I've always told this story around sexuality. I was in Tasmania and it was late at night. I was quite drunk. I was quite young. It was before it was legal to be gay.
When did the law change to make it?
96.
Lordy McLummox. That's late in the day, isn't it?
It's real, sunset. And and this is what's upset, you know, what's upsetting about the discussion around gay marriage now. It's the amplification of very, very negative voices. And that's what we're getting. You know, sure, we get a lot of things, but when you're a kid, questioning yourself and going, oh, fuck, I don't want to be different. Like, that's what you do when you're just like, oh, I don't. Oh, that's going to be hard, isn't it? you know, so all you hear is like, you're wrong. You're a freak. You know, you're against, this is a choice. You know, all these sorts of things. That's what you hear. And that's what young kids are hearing now. It's like, you're not actually part of the good bits of society that build up, you know, that's what marriage, you know, and that's what kids are hearing. And that's what I remember when I'm back in the day is just like, you know, I'm going, oh, I think I like women. And they're like, well, you'll don't be upset if someone punches you. I remember I was flirting with a woman that I worked with at a supermarket, and she was flirting back like it was a, you know, that's frisson, but it was Tasmania, so it was like, oh, sure. And and then out of nowhere, I got hit on the side of the head and then grabbed around the throat. This guy's gone. Hands up, don't cut another man's grass or some shit like that. You know, I was a bit like, and she's grabbing him going, nah, it's a girl, Tanner, it's a girl. And he goes, oh fuck, sorry, love. Sorry, oh, I didn't know. I'd never hit a woman. But also then, you know, he's just like, he looks at me and it sort of clicks over that, yeah, I am a woman, but I'm not right. And then he finished it off. So, oh, I don't know why you found that funny, but like I got beaten up, but maybe it was tension. when it comes down to it, no one really has any idea what masculine and feminine, what we don't even really know the extremes. Yet the responses tend to be incredibly definite,
polarized.
Yeah.
Are there ever expectations, do you think, on lesbians to be masculine when they don't want to be? When I'm like, oh, just because I'm a lesbian doesn't mean I'm masculine.
Well, I don't know. I mean, not from within the gay community, certainly not.
Oh no. I mean, from society in general.
No, this. I mean, every girlfriend I've had has been told by guys, you don't have to be a lesbian, you know, because they pass as straight women. It's like, you know, sure to cuddle a lady, but you know, you'd do all right. You'd pass. You don't have to lower yourself. Like, there's this assumption that it's not actually feminine lesbians have a difficult time in that sense because they daily have to come out. I only had to come out once and it was a surprise to nobody. feminine women, they say, it's like, you've made the wrong decision. You don't, you know, and that, I don't experience that at all. If there's a difficulty for the more masculine ladies, it's the trap of hyper-masculinity. Butch women that I've known have behaved inappropriately toward other women because they are copying, mimicking a straight man, cisgendered, you know, masculine behaviour of, like, it's okay to hound a woman, you know, because that's the behaviour you see. If you're not born of it, then you're taught how to... You're not taught in the subtleties of that.
So you just have to pick it up from movies?
No, other people go out in the world.
No, but, yeah. You know, it's...
I didn't know. There's no cinema where I grew up.
We learn it from kindergarten, don't we?
Like, yeah, like...
But you watch, you have to watch and observe, I mean, by watching, yeah, from, learn it from movies. You're not... Your dad doesn't take you aside and show you how to be a man. Oh, your...
Well, he never took my brother's aside either, because dad's not real sure either. Like, I mean, he's very sure, but he's a very... You know, what... I mean, the thing is, I grew up with an incredibly strong mother. She's a matriarch. And, you know, and dad's a very gentle, softly spoken man. So even then, you know, I'm fucked, you know? although I'm not, I'm blessed because I've got a strong female role model and an incredibly gentle masculine, you know, masculine father, role model. You know, so you know, the behaviours that I saw were challenging, not in the extreme gender roles, but definitely challenging people's ideas.
Sophie?
Yeah, I'm just being all amazed. We have time for like one or two questions, depending on how short they are.
Does anyone have a question?
I'd like to ask Hannah, do you think it is better now than when you were young? Do you think it's better for young people now, or is it worse because we live in a time of social media and more connectedness?
So the question from the audience was, is it better now than it was when Hannah was young, or is it worse because we're in an age of social media where there's lots of imagery going around, selfies and that kind of thing?
I'm of the belief that each generation has its own challenges. Certainly the isolation that I felt in regional Tasmania meant that I thought I was the only person who felt this, and therefore I was the freak that everyone suggested I was. I think now young people have a much easier time finding a tribe, you know, finding connections online, but that opens up a whole world of hurt and, you know, vulnerability that I didn't have to go through. So, yeah, I think the challenges, there are still challenges. There is still violence. There is, and it's not even the violence. That violence is the extreme option of it. It's the subtle bits, you know, the fact that you have to make a decision every day about how you will present. That still happens now, and it did then. The challenges that come with social media, et cetera, are different, but I guess I wouldn't say it's easier.
It's just a sort of different sort of hard, maybe.
Yeah, I wouldn't be young again. I can't wait to be old.
I
don't care. Like, I'm really enjoying, actually, it doesn't matter anymore to me. Like, I'm dead inside, you know? Like, it's actually comfort.
See, I feel the opposite. I feel I would nail being 21 now with what I know. I could kick ass at 21 now. But the trouble is, when you're 21, you don't know all those things. Because I would just go at it now. Like, if anyone's listening and they're 21, just, like, go for it. Because nobody knows what they're doing.
But everything we all know, it should be easier now. Like, I remember grabbing my young cousin. He was like 9 or something, and he was telling me how he was, like, his dad is a police officer, and they were very right wing. He was talking about how couldn't wait to go to war like a real man. And both me and my sister, like, just took him to the side and just started going, "You can be whatever you want. You don't have to be this." Like, trying to explain everything about, like, gender politics and feminism in like 5 minutes before his parents
shouldn't have taken that long.
Any other questions? Yes.
Clearly, there's obviously big socio-political issues that would have to be changed for us to achieve better equality. But if there was something about, like, femininity, or, as you said, the performance of being feminine, that you wish could, like, be gone from the world, whether it's the application of makeup or wearing high heels or something, is there something kind of shallow like that that you would like to see dispensed with?
So the question is there any performance of gender, of femininity, that we'd like to see gone, like makeup or heels? Hannah, anything you'd like to see gone?
Oh, no, I don't think anything should be gone. I honestly think that what needs to go is the pressure someone feels to do anything. That's what needs to go. Like, I don't give a shit what people do. And that's the attitude, I think, that we should all strive to. Don't give a fuck. You know, so that's what I'd like to see go.
Pressure.
Yeah, it's the pressure, like, you know.
Yeah, I guess we could even keep the, I don't know about the words, but the traits we could still call it feminine and masculine, but it shouldn't be about women or men, I guess. You know, like, it shouldn't
be
men could be feminine and that wouldn't be a problem at all, and the other way around.
The only thing I'd like to see gone is Spanx. I really have a problem with them.
I have such a problem.
I really do not believe in them.
Let's make that a topic.
I really do not believe in them. Sometimes you go into a shop and you'll try on some kind of slinky dress and it's just not very flattering. And the lady will always say the same thing. You could wear Spanx. And I could be in an Elizabethan court wearing a corset and fainting every 4 minutes as well. But that's...
piss on your little history parade there, but...
But quite honestly, I say to shop assistants all the time, I really feel it's not a feminist act to wear Spanx because they restrict your breathing. They're nylon. They can't be good for you down there. And there's just something about them that just makes me feel...
Get crotchless ones.
Crotchless Spanx. I don't know that they
but
do crotchless just... Spanx.
Well, really,
I think crotchless is for sexy times and Spanx really kills any erection.
They're anti-stomach. And stomach is like one of the things that most beauty industry people try and make people insecure about because it's the hardest place on your body to lose weight. So that's where they all get you.
It's not.
You can never...
I had hips, you know. That's
one of the, like, you can never get thin enough there if you look at the billboards and stuff. Like, that's the place where there'll always be fat there because it's your stomach. So that's where they all get you. which is why spanks are evil. But that's for another episode.
High, they come up too high, and they also the fat rolls have got to go somewhere, so they end up sort of bulging. Has anyone else had this? It ends up bulging out at the bottom or the top, and then instead of just having like you know a sort of roundy shape in a slinky dress, now you're like completely svelte and tight with just an enormous roll at the top, and then just bulging bits on the thigh. It's very
bulging bits of fat.
Yeah. So my fuck you to the patriarchy would be let's burn Spanx. In the 60s and 70s, they burnt bras.
No one actually burnt bras.
No one actually.
Oh, shush. Yes, they did. If they didn't, it was as if they did. It was a metaphor, so we think they did, and it's as true as it should be. It's, do you know what I mean? Things are true if they're...
Hannah. Problematic language.
You know what I mean. It's as if they did.
When she's on the floor.
Hannah, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I don't want to plug my show. I don't, no.
Do you have anything
I'd
coming
like,
up?
Yeah, I'd like plug a couple of other shows here. Mm. Rose, I can't, I don't know her name. New Zealand girl.
Rose Mazafeo.
Yeah. Go see her show. Who else? Mae Martin. Go see Mae Martin's show. Brilliant show. I mean, you're welcome to come to mine. Like, I'm not saying don't come, but I just thought I'd plug another couple. Demi Lardner, also doing an incredible show. Mm. So, yeah, that's...
Is there anywhere where people listening in not Melbourne can find you on the internet?
I reckon.
Great. Good. Deborah, do you have anything?
Yes, I am currently on tour in the UK.
She's not, though, is she? This is Elizabethan courtship again, isn't it?
I live in a fantasy world. Land. Clearly, I live
when
in
you say Gold Coast. What did you
No, I dreamt all of that. My show, Deborah Francis White Rolls the Dice, based on my Radio 4 show, is going to be touring the UK. And if you're in Australia, I'm so sorry, I'm not doing it for you. Listen, if anyone here in the audience feels they really want to see it, come round to Hannah's place and I'll just do it for you in the living room from my very comfortable bed. Sophie, have you got anything to plug?
I don't know when this is going out, but... if
oh yeah, you can cut mine out. They're not. It's not relevant, is it? All my plugs.
It's fine.
Please Like Me.
Oh yes, yes. Tell them about Please Like Me.
Yeah, a show called Please Like Me. Oh yeah, great. It's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. Because I think it's not in the UK as such. It's not broadcast over there. But if you can find it, yeah, definitely try
buy it on iTunes. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, it's a really brilliant show. It's a great look at, I guess, gay culture now, like young gay culture, but there's so much written into it about mental illness, intergenerational relationships, which is so refreshing. Often we're just like, we're either old or stupid or young and dumb. So there, all of that is there. Everyone's fucked. So it's a wonderful show. So yeah, look up for Josh Thomas.
I really wanted to see it in the UK and I couldn't manage to get it, but I think now maybe you can buy it on iTunes.
I don't know, yeah.
But I've been watching it on Hannah's floor and it's been...
It's couch.
On Hannah's incredibly... So comfortable sofa couch. It is really
not that comfortable, but it's not the floor.
It is. It's not. You know what? You know what I mean. That sort of absolute. Anyway, okay. It's been amazing.
So if you want to see me,
sorry, Sophie Hagen, where are you performing? Sorry,
I'll be doing Edinburgh.
Oh yeah,
the comedy festival there. So find me there with my show, which is gonna be finished. Also find our podcast on guiltyfeminist.com. You can listen to previous and future episodes once they're up.
Do you reckon people who are listening at need to...
It's true. It's sort of implied they found it.
Good point. Mm-hmm. But you can also find us on... This is so
stressful. Forgetful people listening. Do it again.
If you're listening from an Elizabethan court...
Okay, no, you're all right. Okay. I'm gonna... If you want to hear about our live date, if you want to find tickets and information on our live future date, you can go to guiltyfeminist.com. You can find us on Facebook at The Guilty Feminist Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at The Guilty Feminist, or you can find us on Twitter at GuiltFemPod. Also, you can go to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. And
it doesn't have to be 5 stars. You can rate it how you want to rate it.
Five star on iTunes.
Let Sophie bully you into 5 stars.
5-star. If you don't like it, just give us 5-star and then just write in the comments. Shit, it doesn't matter. No one reads that.
Don't write that. Don't. No, it's fine. If you don't like it, why are you reviewing it? And we like to give all of our guests a piece of suffragette jewellery because we think this is the epitome of guilty and feminist in one. Now, the suffragettes used to wear their colours, so like purple, green and white, so they could identify each other. And it's you never know. You know, I basically buy the guests Edwardian jewellery and we hope a suffragette wore it. We can't prove they did. But for Hannah, what we've got is something that we absolutely know a suffragette did wear, because it is an original Edwardian Votes for Women badge that's from America. And you can see it is Edwardian because it's not got a proper pin on the back. It just sort of sticks into your skin. So you might want to alter that, or in some way or the way find a way to make sure it doesn't fall off. But that was worn by a suffragette.
It's from America. Mm. I think they still need it over there. Votes for Women. Thank you. That's brilliant. I love that. Thank you
so much for coming. Give it up for Hannah Gatsby.
You have been listening to The Guilty Feminist with Sophie Hagen. Me, Deborah Francis-White, and our special guest, Hannah Gatsby. The producer was Tom Talinsky for The Spontaneity Shop. The sound engineer was Jackson Akers. Thanks to Susan Proven, Rebecca Austin, and everyone at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival, as well as all of you for listening. For more information about this and other episodes, visit guiltyfeminist.com.
Anna, do you have anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, is this not on the... This, we're not talking about femininity anymore, are we?
No, sorry. I'm
plug your show or whatever.
Deborah took us off the...
we can plug femininity.
No, I just thought we're still talking about one's body. That's just Spanx time. What do you want to plug? I don't know what that means. That's some kind of Spanx thing. I do.
Not like butt plugs. Like, do you want to plug your show?
Oh no, I don't want to plug my show.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.